Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Sports Buffet, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your chef, Tim Dick, will be serving up a feast of information on professional sports in Atlanta, as well as his Georgia Bulldogs, and yes, even the North Avenue Trade School. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents the Sports Buffet with your host, Chef Tim Dick.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Sports Buffet, where we discuss the fifth major food group, that being sports, with an Atlanta flavor, as we focus on the Atlanta pro sports scene, along with Georgia Tech, the University of Georgia Bulldogs, and the Georgia State program as well. The man behind the counter, looking very dapper tonight in his dress whites with his black bow tie and his paper hat. That would be Rich Tate. And Rich, I tell you, they really missed a show last week, didn't they? I mean,
With
Ty Cobb was just unbelievable. I enjoyed the fondue out of Ted Williams' head. It was just unbelievable.
Yeah, if you didn't tune in last week, you missed a classic.
Yes, literally tens of people missed the show last week, and a lot of people that called in thought it was Tommy Lee Jones, but you know, there's definite difference between Tommy Lee Jones and Ty Cobb. So, and there you have it. So, it was good times. Glad y'all joined us this week. Of course, if your child fits in the box by the front door, they eat free at Sports Buffet. And if you want to get on board and talk, Atlanta Pro Sports with us right here this week. Call 347-324-5735. That's 347 area code. 324-5735. No, actually, folks, we had a technical glitch last week. I think our homeboy in the Bronx was caught asleep at the wheel or something. And so those types of things happen on occasion. We try to keep them to a minimum. But we did have a good show because a lot of things had transpired. I mean, we were this close to getting King Griffey Jr., and we actually got the long end of the stick, I believe, in Garrett Anderson. What do you think, Rich?
Absolutely, better end of the deal. Never saw it coming, but as disappointed as you were to see Griffey not come here, the next day it was, you know, total mood change. So I'm pretty happy about it.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be a lazy Susie kind of night around here at the buffet. Also, just join us. We'll talk Atlanta sports. 347-324-5735. It is March 2nd, and March Madness right around the corner, and it's just going to be an absolute wasteland landscape here at the buffet because we have nothing to talk about as far as March Madness with a local flavor, that's for sure. Tech, Georgia, both just absolutely dreadful. There's no other way to put it. So we're just going to put that on the back burner, probably as much as we're going to put the Thrashers on the back burner because I think probably the highlight of this week is going to be some plan revolt by season ticket holders who are now few and far between, I'm reading. Going to stage some kind of, Saints-like ain't-bag-wearing display that the Atlanta Spirit Group has said, we won't say anything about it, but they don't say anything about anything, so it really doesn't matter whether the fans do that or not. Quite frankly, they could set the building on fire, and I don't believe it would light a fire under the Atlanta Spirit as far as hockey goes, Rich.
No, those guys are miserable. I've been saying it all along, and you know, I don't know what's going on as far as their thing with Belkin, but you know, the so-called evil Steve Belkin. You know, I kind of wonder if he's really the evil one or if it's the others. But bottom line is, you're sitting here, you got idiots running the show, and all I can say is, luckily somehow the Hawks have managed to be competitive this year. So, you know, if we could just see the same thing out of the Thrashers, that would be exciting. You know, if they're going to be wearing bags down there, I tell you what, I haven't been to Blue Land in probably a couple of years, just because I'm sick of spending that kind of money to go see a team that I know for sure is going to lose. You know, just to see Kovalchuk in a Thrashers uniform one more time and be able to go down there and wear a bag on my head, hey, I'd do it.
Speaking of the Hawks, the last I saw, there's 3 minutes and 45 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Hawks leading Washington by 15, 94-79. Everybody seems to lead Washington by 15 about this point in every game they play in. But, man, a really bitter pill to swallow against the Cavaliers at home yesterday. You had the guy with the ball in his hand, Joe Johnson, with that last-second shot, misses, and it was just a tough pill to swallow. They played him tough, but they come off that road trip, 1-4 on the road trip, and looked good Friday night, looked good. Really looked good, I guess you could say, against the Cavaliers. Certainly the Cavaliers, one of the more premier teams, certainly in the East. But they've got a lot of home games coming up in the next 5 weeks, and they're going to have to make some hay if they want to solidify that fourth seed, and they've really got to hit the stride. They have been playing under 500 ball since the beginning of the year. And they've got to hit some kind of stride where everybody's healthy and get some minutes under control. And then our coach has got to take the bit out of their mouth, Rich. This team's built to run like a bunch of thoroughbred horses, and, man, he really pulls back on the reins when they cross the half-court line.
Yeah, you know, I think no matter what the Hawks do this year, I think it's Woodson's last year. I think Rick Sund was brought in to be a yes man for at least 1 year and see how it went. I think when it comes down to it, Woodson's gone, and we probably have ourselves a real coach next year. And hopefully, you know, we raise the bar a little bit.
I think that Rich Sund standing pat at the trade deadline said volumes about what you were just alluding to as far as the head coach position, Woodson's position with the team. They obviously have got to advance through the first round. Obviously have to, or I'm sure he is toast, because you can't just change the team. I mean, you've got a lot of personnel moves you're going to have to make in the off season. And you know, Jay Smoove just does not like playing for the guy, and As Smoove goes right now, it seemingly is the way the Hawks go. I mean, Horford had a monster night Friday night. So did Smoove. But, you know, it's really Bibby and Joe Johnson's team to lead. But, again, Woodson seems to put a bit in their mouth when they really want to get out and run and can dominate with this all-forward lineup that they have. And
you know, my thought on that, and the reason I think we've got a lot of talent here, and I think the bottom line is these guys don't know their roles. I wonder if Woodson really communicates with these guys at all, as far as on an individual level, what does he expect out of them individually on the court? You know, to a man, everybody on the Braves teams during the great run, they knew exactly the whole reason people love to play for Bobby Cox is because he lets you know what your role is going to be. You may be the pinch hitter coming in the seventh inning against left-handed hitters, and you may sit on the bench three nights a week waiting for that fourth game so that opportunity comes your way, but at least you know that that's your opportunity. And those guys can adjust and learn to excel in those moments. And I think there's so much talent here that it's almost like any given night one guy's going to lead the team. But, you know, really, I think roles need to be defined. And I think with a real coach, I think they're going to have that.
I would tend to agree with you in that regard. But regardless of that, we expect for professionals to act professionally. Josh throwing the bone on the road trip was Bush.
Yeah.
Josh, you know, I hate to say somebody's tanking it, but there have been times when he was at the free throw line that he made Shaquille O'Neal look like the icon, okay? He made him look like Jerry West. So don't let your attitude, a bad attitude, especially right now, because you've got to get, I mean, you've clung on to this fourth seed, and you can look and say, yeah, we're not going to catch Orlando. All right, that's a given, that you need at least 9 games out of that spot, and you've got to get into a division-winning situation to advance in the seed. But looking over your shoulder, you got Detroit, who, by the way, played brilliantly Sunday against the Celtics and looked damn good doing it. So more than likely you're going to play Detroit, it would appear right now, if everything held, if everybody held serve right now, that would be the likely matchup. So you're going to have to find a way to get your and the thing about it is, Rich, is that you just can't switch gears. You've got these young legs. You've got these. You don't have a deep bench. You know what you're going to run out on the court. To me, you've got to find a way to, even though Joe Johnson can make the shot, and he might be the guy that you want to have the ball in his hand, because he's definitely not afraid to throw it up. Okay, the guy would throw it up 40 times a night if you gave him the ball. Okay, but Horford is the man child. And when you play that half game, that half court game, and you're looking for an isolation shot to get Joe Johnson the ball off the pick for a 30-foot jumper, okay, I'm looking more for somebody rotating into the middle, aka Horford, with a quick pass, one extra pass, and let this guy go in and make the play and or draw the foul. The guy is the future of the ball club, without a doubt. Al Horford is a man child. He is a star in this league. He will be a big time star in any other market if he was the focal point of the program. We're just rambling on the Hawks here, everybody. If you want to jump in, we're talking Atlanta Pro Sports here on the Sports Buffet, 347-324-5735. I don't want to go any further, Rich, because on your website, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, you did post it, and I did make a reply to it. We lost an iconic voice over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
A brilliant writer, a very influential radio man, Paul Harvey, passed away over the weekend at age 90. And there's very few people that have ever listened to the radio that would not recognize his voice. They might not know his name, but they would know his staccato voice, his presentation. A lot of people might know the rest of the story or some of his other phrases, like page two, like he was reading you the paper, or good day. And a very influential man, because he actually stood up to the President of the United States at one point, Richard Nixon, who was a staunch conservative. We don't want to get into politics here, but just that Midwestern, he was from Oklahoma, and grew up poor like everybody else, so he had conservative values and but anyway, he stood up to the President of the United States, Rich, and basically said, bring our boys home from Vietnam. And the President of the United States, Richard Milhouse Nixon, about crapped himself. And true story. And never be another one like him. His son tries, bless his heart. But never be another one. And Paul Harvey gone. And another interesting story about that. I think I posted this. He was 14 years. This is a lesson for anybody. I mean, how influential this statement was that he remembered. He was 14 years old. He was working in a radio station in Oklahoma, and he was impersonating a voice for his radio show, and the station manager walked in and said something along the lines, Paul, as long as you do that, you'll only be second best. So there's a lot of lessons to be learned from that statement. got to be yourself first. So anyway, for guys like me who have chalkboard and fingernail voices that always admired just the voices, big loss. Just a sign that you lived long enough to see him pass, I guess, Rich.
Yep.
But anyway, let's move on. Didn't mean to bring everybody down like that. Man, I got really, really teary-eyed here all of a sudden. But let's move on to the Atlanta Falcons because
I'm hoping you got answers, man.
I don't know if there are any answers. I'm just going to trust in the world according to Thomas Dimitroff. And because every move he made last year was gold, absolute gold. And so he said leaving the playoff loss at Phoenix, that the personnel's, and to quote, personnel decisions will not be driven by emotion. And so that didn't mean that they were going to just cut Keith Booking because of the bad play on 3rd and 16, but he wasn't going to keep him because he was just a nice guy either. So he's running a football team, not a boys club. So, but others have gone as well. Lala Malloy gone. The one that surprised me that they allowed to test the free agent waters was Chauncey Davis. I thought he played a hell of a last 8 games for sure.
He most certainly did, and I saw him as a big key to next year's defense, and that was the shocker. You know, what kills me is really when I found out Malloy was not going to come back, I thought for sure they were definitely going to do whatever they had to do to bring Brooking back, because to me, I think at least for leadership in that young locker room, especially for the defensive side, I really think that one of those guys should have been left behind for at least one more year. Obviously, probably you're not going to get either one of those guys to just sign a one-year deal. When they're both, you know, in their minds, they've got 3-4 years left. When they let Brooking go and Dallas picked him up, hey, good for Dallas.
And I never saw numbers on that deal. Have you seen any numbers on the Dallas?
No, I know it's a 3-year deal. I can't remember the actual numbers. I remember hearing it when it first came out, but it's slipped my mind since then. One thing I can say is this city has been polarized on this guy for many years. One thing I will give him is, first of all, I know how to pronounce his name. He's singular. He's not plural. It's not Keith Brookings, which so many people on Sports Talk Radio seem to call him. And he's actually led the league or led the team in tackles. 8 of his 11 years? The only thing is, yeah, he's lost a step in the last couple of years. He's gone a couple seasons now with no interceptions, no fumbles, no forced fumbles, no sacks. And obviously, you know, that definitely shows he was losing a step. My only thing is, you know, what kind of leadership are you going to have on that side of the ball this coming year? And another big shock to me was Boley. I mean, I know he had a down year this year, but, man, do you remember 2 seasons ago they were talking about him being the future of the defense?
Well, the thing about Boley, I just don't believe he fits the scheme, Mike Smith's scheme.
Yeah, he didn't seem lost.
I don't think it's a matter of Michael Boley not being able to play. Obviously, he can play because he got paid big money here we go. I'm having a senior moment. Baltimore.
Yeah,
right?
He went to the Ravens, yeah.
And that's stout. That's going to be stout because they believe in defense there. And he'll probably flourish in that. It's kind of funny to me that Brookin went to Dallas because they run a 3-4, and he's going to be out of position in that lineup as well. Now, Bum's son coached him here in Atlanta, and and in those years, he was at his most productive, 2002-2003 or 2003-2004. Yes, 2002-2003. But that's 6 years ago, and he's definitely lost a step. Now, when he first came to the Atlanta Falcons, everybody thinks this guy, I mean, is light in the shorts. First off, there's nobody in that league that's light in the shorts, okay? Nobody, all right? everybody that plays one down on Sunday is a great athlete, bar none. But in the summer camps and the mini camps, Keith Brookin was a real, I wouldn't say a troublemaker, but he'd go after the whistle, and there would be several fights. But I think as he's gotten longer in the tooth and become a elder statesman for the Falcons, or it could be because Arthur Blank likes it more buttoned down or whatnot, that maybe they want to get younger and more aggressive.
Well, that definitely seems to be the case. I mean, Dimitrov's already said he is absolutely not. You know, the Falcons are not going to be players in free agency. He'd rather build for youth. And you know, I got to say, this coming season, if anybody out there is looking for 11 wins again, I think you're going to be sadly disappointed. The Falcons are not that team yet. What we saw was a team that played a pretty mild schedule, and this next year, we've got to play a tougher schedule with the NFC East and the AFC East, and you know, obviously it's going to be a little bit tougher schedule, and you just lost about half of your starting defense essentially. So you know, you're going to be pretty much defense heavy in the draft, obviously. So you're going to have a lot of youth out there, a lot of guys learning the system. I think we're going to give up a lot of points this next year.
Well, you know, we were playing with house money, as I stated before. We were playing with house money from game one under the new regime, because even though we did make the playoffs and we looked damn good doing it, there is no doubt about it. All the moves that were made were correct, but remember, our offensive line was undersized.
Mm-hmm.
Running the cut block schemes. But a bunch of no-name faces became a pretty good offensive line. As a matter of fact, they cut sacks by, what, two-thirds?
Yep.
From the year prior.
Absolutely.
But on the defensive side of the ball, listen to this statement made by Dimitrov. This is what he is looking for: urgency and consistency. Now, by that he means someone who's credibly focused on the task at hand, who's flying around the football field with controlled, reckless abandon, someone who perceives every play as the most important. I know it's an idealistic approach, but urgency is what allows us to make that interception or pick up that ball that's rolling on the ground. And even though he did not know Mike Smith before he interviewed him for the Falcons job, he recommended him to be hired, okay, and they are quite congruent in their approach. So they look through the same pair of glasses. And Smith's going to build, all you got to do is look at the Jacksonville teams. I mean, he wasn't the GM and he wasn't the head coach, but look at the trenches. All right, the Falcons are going to get bigger, and they're going to get way younger, and they're going to get a whole lot faster. And that's what you got to be on Sundays. There's no doubt about it.
Well, that's just it. Everybody wants that, you know, that first back-to-back winning season. But I got a feeling it's not going to happen this year. And you know what? That's fine, because if these guys who have yet to give me a reason not to trust them, if they are building for a 5-6 year run that's going to start in a couple of years, you know, give me that. Give me that. I'll take a 7-9 or an 8-8 this next year. I'll take a 6-10 if it means we got 5 and 6 good years coming, and this next season is full of young guys. I have no problem with that whatsoever. You know, I think that's the best route. I think it most absolutely certainly is. And you know, you look back, and this is exactly how the Patriots built, and that's where Dimitrov's from. So, you know, looking at Mike Smith in Jacksonville, as you noted, and then on top of that, Van Gorder. I mean, he's just a great defensive coordinator. He's going to end up going somewhere. He's not going to be with the Falcons for another 2 years. And I guarantee you, who's our offensive coordinator? I'm drawing a blank. Mullarkey.
Mike Mullarkey.
He'll end up here for maybe another 2 years. And at that point, it's going to come down to the guys that we're getting, that we've gotten now, and that we pick up over the next couple of years, gelling, and then them bringing in the right offensive and defensive coordinators to replace those guys, because I think as we start to see a little more success here, I think those guys are going to become commodities, and then those are going to be the holes we're looking to fill in a couple of years.
Well, let me back up and say, I said Bowling went to the Ravens, but he didn't. He went to the New York Giants. It was Dominic Foxworth that went to Baltimore. What about some of the numbers that are just stupid? I mean, come on, that D'Angelo Hall, $41 million, 25 guaranteed. Holy mackerel. I'd like to follow these guys around just to pick the money up if they throw on the ground.
Well, you know what they didn't report because you know it was off the record. I actually turned down that gig. So,
well, you know, there's only a few good free agents left out there now. So, and you've got to be in demand, large and in charge.
Well,
I know Al Davis is on the phone, on the other phone. He's trying to get to you right now.
Yeah. Me and Mike Vick. He's going to bring us out there.
I don't know why anybody would want to go to Oakland. I mean, people in Oakland
don't want to be in Oakland.
They vacation in Compton, okay? All right. So I don't know why anybody would want to go out there. But now we're talking free agents. I mean one of the other positions on the offense you got to look at filling is going to be tight end. I mean, a lot of people saying that, or a lot of the soothsayers, I should say, are saying that the Falcons are going to go after, I guess it's the Oklahoma tight end. But in free agency, there are tight ends available. Leonard Pope, for one, is available from Arizona, former Georgia standout. L.J. Smith for the Eagles is another name that's been bannered about. On the defensive side, former UGA player and Cleveland Brown safety Sean Jones, that would be a nice fit. You got no problem with Sean Jones. I think that's certainly an upgrade, mm-hmm. although he would be, again, he'd be getting a little long in the tooth as well. So...
just want to report quickly here. The Hawks have beaten. I'm sorry. Who are they playing tonight? I'm
Washington.
the Wizards. 98-89. They have got a win, and Mike Woodson's doing his press conference right now. I know you're going to segue to baseball here pretty soon. I just saw something. I don't know if you had seen this yet or not, but I figure we'll put this out there to the listeners. The Atlanta Braves and Clear Channel have announced that the 2009 Braves games will be aired on 96.1 FM while continuing on 640 on AM. So if you've been listening to them on the bowl for the last couple seasons, you might want to reset before the season gets started. Otherwise, you're going to be confused.
I think that's Project 961, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it is this week, yeah.
Yeah, and but anybody...
They've been a project for about 12 years.
And it's been 96 rocks since the day of its birth, so I'll never understand that one. I will never, ever, ever understand that change. If it was ever...
96 rock ran this town, you know?
It sure did.
That's sure amazing.
Sure did. Yeah, let's move over to some baseball because the spring training getting going in earnest. A lot of players segueing starting yesterday to their camps for the World Baseball Classic. What do you think about that, Rich?
I think it needs to go away. I think it takes away from the season. You know, if they're going to do that, I mean, there's plenty of warm weather places they can do that in February before these guys show up to camp.
I just find it hard to believe that Chipper Jones and Brian McCann are going to go to Maracaibo, Venezuela, and have urine bombs and bolatas thrown at them, though, to play. I'm sorry.
Better yet, you know, they can do this thing in October. You know, do it in October.
Don't get hurt.
That's all I got to say. Just don't get hurt.
Amen. Don't get hurt. Brian McCann will be the starting catcher for the. For the USA, and Chipper Jones will be the starting third baseman for the team as well. A lot of teams just said no completely. For example, Johan Santana for the New York Mets told flat out, no, you can't go. And guess what? Now his wing's hurting. So they're saying that he pitched too much. So he's at odds with the pitching coach up there, and then looking likely that he would miss his opening day start. That's something for the Braves to look forward to. But hey, let's look at the Braves a little bit now. J.R. Jurgens and Javier Vasquez, the Braves were off today. They pitched simulated games today in camp. I know that, and Vasquez looked good. He allowed a hit and a walk in three innings, striking out three. 27 of his 39 pitches were for strikes. J.R. Jurgens, he got hammered by one guy. Jason Hayward of the Braves went long, deep, and doubled off the wall, injuring the wall. J.R. Jurgens. Allowed four hits and two runs and three, and he looked sharp. But obviously, Jair does not want to face the future outfielder for the Braves anytime soon because he was really catering the ball. Vasquez faced Freddie Freeman, and that name keeps popping up. I don't know how long we're going to be able to keep that guy off first base. He's 6'6". He does everything well. The guy chokes up on the bat, for God's sake. Who does that anymore in the major leagues? The thing about McCann going, okay, getting back to the world, the baseball classic, McCann's got to, he's got new pitchers he's got to learn. Of course, Lowe's going to tell him what he's going to throw, and he's going to gladly accept, I mean, because he's just a pro's pro, And for that matter, Vasquez will probably be the same way. They'll work together. But my concern is that our Japanese pitcher, Kawakami. Now, what are you going to do when you go to the mound?
Yeah, I would think there's obvious communication issues there to some degree because this guy speaks no English whatsoever, and I would think. Hopefully, they're working his pitching appearances around the WBC so that, you know, every possible outing he has, he's working with McCann. I noticed they got like eight catchers on the roster right now. Most of them, obviously.
That's a great point you just brought up because it very well could be that because obviously McCann's going to be the everyday catcher, that they could assign him a catcher and let the catcher learn some rudimentary Japanese.
You'd only have to learn about, what, you know, five, six words. Five, six words and point. I got a couple points I want to throw out here and get your reaction on them. I got to tell you, I watched a little spring training last week one day, and I got to see the great Tommy Hansen. And let me just throw these bullets at you and see how you feel. I think the prospect most likely to crack the starting day roster is going to be Jordan Schaefer. And I think prospects most likely to be used in 2009 are Tommy Hansen and Jason Hayward. And I know that's a stretch on Hayward, but I just think he's going to be here, kind of like Andrew Jones was here at such a young age. And actually too, if one of our starters goes down, even before the season, I could see Hansen being the guy they pull up and they say, "Well, see what you got. See what you got against these guys." He's what, 22, right?
Yeah, he's just a kid, and. I think it's a reach for Hayward. Or Freddie Freeman. I think they're going to bring him up at the same time. Kochman, he is what he is. Let's hope that he has better numbers. It took him quite a while to get adjusted when he got here to Atlanta. I think that having Garrett Anderson on the team. Of course, they were teammates just last year, so I think that will behoove. But the problem is we're not going to be a power hitting outfield. Josh Anderson will be your opening day center fielder. The dude can flat out fly. Okay, so you're going to have the Andersons in left and in center, and then you're going to have Francoeur in right. The name that keeps flying under the radar is our shortstop. Haven't heard a word, and that might be a good thing because he came in with that Cuban chip on his shoulder last year,
mm-hmm.
and so I think he might be getting acclimated to the to Major League Baseball. Maybe the way that Bobby wants to do things, because, I mean, you're going to do it Bobby's way, because not only is it the right way, it's the most enjoyable way. So that's another concern. I haven't heard not a peep. Maybe he's planning on bringing a couple of Cubans. Maybe he's gone to Miami.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I think they're kind of in the same boat the Falcons are in to some degree, where there's a lot of young talent that's just waiting. It's just on the bubble. And as long as Frank Wren doesn't become John Scherholz of the last 4 or 5 years of Scherholz's run, starting to trade away the future for now, I think the Braves are going to, you know, I think it's possible they come back and they have another run. Probably not another 14-year run, but I think they're probably just a couple years away from seeing these guys making an impact. Guys like McCann and Escobar being the guys at the top of the league. I think Francoeur, you know, it's sounding good that, you know, he's got his stroke back. So, you know, that sounds good. Then you got, of course, Josh Anderson. I still say Jordan Schaefer is going to be a player this year. I think they're going for youth, and I think they're going to have another nice long run, and I think we're probably just a couple years away from that.
Bunch of players agreed to one-year contracts today. These are players with 0 to 3 years of service with the club or in the majors. They all came to terms today. Manny Acosta, Jeff Bennett, Blaine Bowyer, big part of this ball club this year. Buddy Carlisle, Jorge Campillo, the Mexican Greg Maddux, Charlie Morton. Man, this is a make-or-break year for Charlie Morton.
Got to be.
In my work.
Got to be.
He's got the stuff, but does he believe he's got the stuff? He's got to get the RG out of him. He's got to get nasty. That's what made Hanson so many brownie points last weekend when he knocked, I forgot who he hit a player. He hit the Phillies. Who did he hit? They hit one of our guys. He turned around and hit him right back. You know.
Right, right.
So, I mean, you know, that's the type of stuff that your players around you just love. You know. Charlie Morton, Peter Moreland, the Aussie, the sidewinder. He's a month short of having his complete 12 months in on his Tommy John surgery. He pitched yesterday. You know, the fact that he pitched was the best part. All right, the numbers didn't really matter. Yunel Escobar, Martin Prado, and Gregor Blanco all have signed one-year deals with the Braves. Now, the Braves tomorrow play Panama, the team concocted for the World Baseball Classic. And from there, the schedule for the rest of the week includes some radio games. You can actually listen to the Braves on WGST, that being
640.
Yeah, 640. I had a brain infarction there. That would be the 6th is what date?
That is Friday.
That is Friday. So all weekend games this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday is a 7:05 start against Houston. Saturday, 1:15. on the radio, and Sunday a 1:05 start against the Phillies on the radio. The week rounds out like this. The Panama exhibition tomorrow is at 1:05. They play the Yankees on Wednesday. Then they play another exhibition against Venezuela and the Bolota tossing urine bomb team. And then again, that would make Friday Houston, Saturday Yankees, and Sunday Phillies. So it's starting to get into gear, and it's going to be very interesting to see how this team shapes up, because Chipper will be gone, McCann will be gone, Vasquez will be gone. They'll all get their time in. So, and it's all worked out. Matter of fact, one of the reasons he pitched today was so he would stay in his rotation. Bobby's got it worked out, where these guys are going to get their cuts and they're going to get their throws in. And so, but if they went out, now they'll be gone for 3.5 weeks, Rich.
Oh, yeah. Only got about 3 minutes left on our live feed here. You want me to run down NASCAR real quick?
Yeah, let's do, because it is. NASCAR comes to Atlanta this week.
Yep. The Shelby 427 in Las Vegas yesterday. Kyle Busch next. Matt Kenseth bid for to become the first person to win 3 straight races to win the start of, or at the start of a season. Busch did start on the pole, and his purse was more than $6.5 million. Not bad for a day's work. And of course, as Tim said, next up is the Cobalt Tools 500 at Atlanta Motor Speedway this coming Sunday. It is this Sunday, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And of course, Busch won last year, and I got to tell you, he's my pick to repeat. Going back and kind of studying the track and what he's done over the years. And, of course, after 3 weeks, the points leader is Jeff Gordon with 459.
Really amazing how he qualified for the pole position, had to change engines, started 43rd, worked his way all the way back through on his home track,
yep,
and just really dominated in fine fashion. And so congratulations to him. The weather looks plum this weekend for the races.
You know what we need to do? We need to make next week, since this is the slow season, let's invite everybody that's listening that maybe goes to the race, watches the race, call in and talk about it. We can talk race all next week. There's nothing going
races
on elsewhere.
and believe me, there's plenty that goes on at a race, Rich, other than racing.
Oh,
okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, it can be.
Racing is the backdrop.
It is the backdrop. Yeah, I'm trying to say, I don't want to say that it's like Woodstock or anything like that, but there's some other things going on there. So if you see the other things going on there, make sure to give us a call next Monday night. And also, don't forget to
tell
set
us
your
about
clock
the dark
ahead.
Matches.
Yes, tell us about the dark matches. Don't forget to set your clocks ahead 1 hour. Coming up late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. For the guys that are camping out at the race, when you hear the engines crank up, just run to the stands, okay?
There you go.
Because that'll probably be the first thing you hear out of your drunken stupor. Rich, let's take it to the bridge. What do you say?
I'm out of here.
All right. Bon appetit. Good night, everybody.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Be sure to stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for information on upcoming shows, as well as all the news and information you could ever need and want. As always, GWH thanks you for your continued support.